Well, good morning. We welcome you here this morning, and glad that you could be with us here today and looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us as we get started. We welcome those of you who are watching online. Thank you for coming in and fellowshipping with us here this morning in whatever format the Lord gives you best opportunity to do so, and excited to be a part of the church as we celebrate what Christ has been doing in our lives throughout this week as we get to fellowship with one another and share those things. It's really neat in these times to be able to catch up and to hear what great things God has done, or as we've gone through testings in different situations, and just understanding that we never know what a day may bring forth. And this week has truly been a testament of that, as we'll be sharing some things here a little bit later on. As you walked in today, I hope that you received a couple of things, or at least were exposed to an opportunity to take a couple of things, and that was, first of all, a bulletin. Second of all, a connection card. And if you're visiting with us, first of all, my name is Adam Love. I'm the pastor here at Grace Baptist Church, and we welcome you. And if you are visiting, we hope that you will take this connection card, fill out as much as you're comfortable with, and as well, you will find that on the back of the bulletin, there is a QR code that will do it digitally. So we really try to make it as easy as possible because we have a lot of spam mail that we need to get rid of each and every week. So no, I'm just kidding. We will not do that to you, I promise. But at the same point, we want to make sure that you are recognized, and we try to communicate with those who are visiting. And then also for our regular attenders, there are places on there for you to fill out prayer requests, information that we need to know, maybe update a phone number, or if you have recently moved, that way we can track you as well and get information, email addresses, and all of that. So please use that as a way to connect with us and the staff, as well as into the office. And so we hope that you'll use that. There are a few other things in your bulletin, and one that is just very significant that I must announce due to the fact that it does involve a part of the business of our church. Next Sunday is our annual business meeting, and I mentioned last week, a lot of people dread these. I love these. I love it when we get to share what God has done. It's an accounting of the blessing. It's looking back over the year, and then also I love it because it's an opportunity to share, to say this is what we're seeing God do, and this is what we're planning for. And obviously we anticipate that God will change our plans because we're always trying to adjust them as we see Him at work. And so it is a time for us to come together as a church and to look at the great things that God has done, what He is doing, and what we anticipate for Him to do. And so I hope that you will plan to be with us next Sunday, not only for the morning service, but also then for the evening. And that'll be at 6 o'clock here, right here in this room, and next Sunday evening. There are a few other things that are going on. We've been observing the sanctity of life throughout the month of January, and we'll continue to do that for this Sunday and for next Sunday. Any undesignated giving will go to them. There's also a box on the table back there in the foyer that you can also put something specific for them. That's where anything put in there will also go to the sanctity of life, their choices, specifically the ministry here in Chattanooga. So that'll be going on today and then next Sunday. Then we want to remind you as well about the different classes. There's Awana. There's a lot of things now that we're trying to see the Lord give us opportunity to do together as we minister, as we teach, as we grow in our understanding of God's Word. Now, one area that I want to just remind you again is today we have a special speaker. He'll be speaking this morning in this service and then the next service. Jency Pimentel and his wife Diana are with us. And we have known them for a long time here at Grace. Diana was first sent out as a single missionary from our church, and then found a guy down there that just swept her off her feet, and that's a great story in itself. You got to hear their story. But they have been married and now have had their third child and have been serving faithfully in the Dominican Republic. We have supported them, I think, as a couple, I believe, for about 7 years. And so they're no strangers to Grace, but the Lord has seen fit to start the conversation about what God has been doing inside of our Spanish ministry that we have here and have had for several years. And yet we've watched it grow and go through the growing pains. And so we have been praying, I've been praying, about bringing in someone who really has the ability to pastor and to shepherd and to allow this ministry to grow beyond where it has been and to grow in depth as well. And so today, We will be hearing from Jency and having an opportunity to, as the American colloquialism goes, rub shoulders together. How you do that in a COVID-infested world, we'll just be careful, socially distance your shoulders, okay? But at the same point, communicate, and I hope that you will have opportunity to ask questions and get to know him a little bit today. And he has met strategically with some different ones from our leadership. He's met with those in the Spanish ministry twice and already since coming here on Thursday evening. And so we're excited that he is able to speak for us this morning. And then next Sunday, we will be part of our annual meeting having a ratification vote as to our thoughts about asking them and extending an invitation to them to come and to be our Spanish pastor for our Spanish ministry. So a lot here is for you to pray about and to consider and to understand. Inside of your bulletin, you will find that there is a half sheet of paper that is loaded with information about them specifically. And so I hope that you will read through that and make sure that you get better acquainted with them as the day goes on, as we go through this week, and everything involved with that. So be in prayer for them. As I told them, I said, you are interviewing us just as much as we are interviewing you, and we hope that we will all come into agreement as to what is God's will for the future in our Spanish ministry. So grateful for the Lord's working there. One other piece of paper, it's a bright piece of paper in your bulletin. That is what we call the Digging Deeper. It is focused on last Sunday, but also preparing us for even this week. There are some thoughts that will come to you, I'm sure, as Jency speaks this morning that you can look at and go into, and then looking ahead as we will get back into our Philippians series, Lord willing, on the 31st. So keep that in mind if you would. We've had a few prayer requests that have come in, and there are several that are listed on the back of your bulletin there. Had an update from Matt Pollock yesterday. Rosemary's father continues to decline, and looks like his time to head to glory is coming closer and closer each and every day. We ask that you be in prayer for Rosemary and for Matt. Matt lost his father just a few weeks ago, and so this has been a double hit to the Pollock family. So if you would, just be in prayer for Rosemary and her family now at this time. Doreen Scott continues to go through treatments, as well as Donna Rich. Remember them, and then others that we're continuing to pray for through this time. We also want to make sure you are aware, and hopefully you saw the information that Richard Patrick, Dick Patrick, passed away yesterday morning early. And so just be in prayer for Carolyn and her sisters and the rest of the family. And this is even the Pimentels, Diana's grandfather, and different ones. And so just be in prayer as the Lord continues to comfort the family. And I know that Dick is excited to be where he is at, and no greater joy in his heart, I'm sure, but we will miss them. Then also I want to mention that we had a death in our school family, the passing of a father and a husband, Mark Hilke, who also helped with our football program and things like this, passed away of a heart attack at the age of around 45 years old, left two young daughters and a wife, and the service is today. And if you would, just be in prayer for the Hilke family as they go through this time of loss and trying to figure out life now and what's coming. So like I said on the outset, you never know what a day will bring forth. We need to be in prayer for one another and just reminding ourselves that life truly is a vapor, here for a little time and then gone away. And let's not be silent in our witness. Let's make sure that we're communicating the grace of God. I'm going to ask Kelly O'Rear to come. He has for us today our scripture verse that we're doing each week now, a new verse. And so this is a passage that's found in Romans chapter 11. He's going to lead that and then open this with a word of prayer.
Would you stand with me as we open our time of worship, and we're going to recite together, I think we have a slide, of Romans 11, 33 through 36. So if you will recite this with me as we open our time of worship together. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor? Who has first given to him that it may be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pause and we take a deep breath this morning as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Lord, we interrupt the regular, busy, demanding rhythms of life intentionally at this moment, on this day, for your glory, and that we might marinate in the reality of your presence and your gospel as we sing and proclaim truth with our lips. As the worship continues and the word is opened, God, would you meet with us in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of questions, in the midst of great joy and transition, in the midst of breakthroughs, in battles with sin. God, would you meet us here and give us a holy, sacred anticipation that your Spirit is amongst us and moving and will move us farther along in our understanding of the glory of who Jesus is and what it means to be his disciple this morning. We welcome, we invite, and we surrender this morning to hear from and meet with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Kelly. It is a joy and a privilege to be with you today and to lead you as we sing praises and worship our Lord, our great Savior.
Thank you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come, trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Oh, Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
I believe in the Son.
I believe in the Son. I was dead in the grave, and I was covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the stone away. Amen, amen. I'm alive, I'm alive. Song, join the one that never ends.
God, we are so thankful that we have life and we're alive because of your resurrection. We thank you that you live. You could live within us today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and how it draws us to yourself. We just pray that you would give us what we need today from your word. I pray for Jency as he comes and speaks. And I just pray that you would empower him, Lord, as he shares his heart with us today. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us first. In your son's name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Back in the process of time of the back and forth day, around June, July, is when Miguel Perez came to me and through his health and things like this, asked if he could step away from the Spanish ministry and to seek to recover and to deal with some things in his health and things like this, and basically to walk back in ministry a little bit. And so we began to pray about that, and I reached out to two men that I really respected that understood this type of ministry and what we were up against. And one of those was Doug Hodges, who I said, you know, I need you to pray with me. I need some wisdom. I need some input. And it's good to see Doug and Paula here even this morning. And I asked him, I said, I, you know, what am I going to do? You know, how do I continue to allow this ministry to grow and to be supported and, you know, not understanding Spanish and things like this? It was going to make it difficult. And so he said, well, if you need somebody, you know, I'm available. And then it was, I said, well, I need somebody, but, you know, I don't want to push it on you. And about a week later, he says, all right, Paula has told me I have, no, I don't think it was quite like that. But he said, I'm able to come, and I will commit to be there for you, and grace, and gracias de Dios, and did I say that better? Okay, I'm getting better. And I can't say enough about just the relationship that I have with Doug, and I just appreciate that. Now, that began then a discussion of, okay, well, who's next? Who is it that's going to come in and be a part of this ministry to lead in this area? And we had a couple of names, and one of them immediately was, I know a guy by the name of Jency, and let me talk to him. And there was a conversation that was had, and what we gather is, nah, not interested. So he's sitting on the front row this morning, all right? And that's just how God works. And I'm grateful for his desire to search the will of God and his willingness to step out by faith to discover whether or not this is God's will. And I said early in the outset, I told him, remember, you're interviewing us just as much as we are interviewing you. If this is not what God wants, we don't want you here either. But I'm glad to have Jency here today. I'm glad to have Diana and the three great kids. And excited, if anything, the Lord has expanded our friendship base, and I'm grateful for him being here. Now, you have to remember, his primary language, his heart language, is Spanish. And I have asked him to come and speak in English. I have a hard enough time speaking in English, all right? So you be gracious as a church. I've already told him, you're going to smile a lot, and you're going to nod your head a lot, and you're just going to, you know. But at the same time, I've told him, this is not what we're judging you on, but I wanted him to communicate to us from God's word so that you could hear his passion for the word of God, his love for people, and to be able to do that in a way that we could understand and measure that. So, Jency, you come ahead and preach to us from God's word what God has laid on your heart for us today. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach the word this morning. And good morning, church. It is a pleasure for me to be here, and what I can say, you have been such a blessing to me and my wife and our family as we've been serving in the DR for the past 7 years. And you, this weekend has been a great opportunity for us to explore the possibility for us to be in the Hispanic ministry. It is a great opportunity that you have as a church and our family. We are so humbled to be part of what God is doing here through your church in Chattanooga. The ministry, as you know, we've been serving the DR for the past 7 years. And the ministry back in the DR is doing great. We are still involved in different things, in different ways. Through technology, through Zoom, we've been able to keep teaching, discipling, despite all the distance. But the ministry is doing very, very good. But today I was an invite to give you a mission update. If you remember in the past, my wife was the one to, I come with my wife and I say a little bit and then she do all most of the talking. But Pastor Adam was really clear, you're going to be preaching, not your wife. So you stuck with me this morning. When he asked me to preach and he said, can you speak at the church in the English service? I say, yes, of course, I can do that. I can give you for 10 minutes mission update. I can do that. No, I want for you to preach. Oh, yeah, I can preach. Of course, I can preach. My wife and I, we do a very good team. She translates and I speak in Spanish. No, I want for you to do it in English. Okay. Then I say, now if he has to preach one time in Spanish, so he has to start getting ready because he has to do it. That's coming to him, okay? The passage that I choose to preach this morning, it's funny because in Philippians chapter 1, and I know you guys started a series in this letter. When I told Pastor Adam I'm going to be preaching, I already have my message going in Philippians chapter 1. He said, it's fine, it's the word of God. And when you, it doesn't matter how many times you preach a passage, you only going to find different principles, applications that you can apply to your life, because we are reading the word of God, which is alive and can work and can talk in to us in many different ways. But the other hand is, if you not be able to understand me this morning because my accent, you kind of have the chance to listen to Pastor Adam pretty soon preaching the same passage. So don't worry about it. Also, I have my notes here that can give it to you if you not understand what I'm going to be preaching this morning. But before we dive in, let's pray this morning and we go to Philippians chapter 1. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for giving us the great opportunity to go to your word and we can learn, we can be challenged through it. I pray that this morning you give me clear communication to as we go and studying this passage, but most important that I can be faithful to your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When you go to the book, to the letter to the Philippians, one of the things that you're going to see is Paul's passion for the gospel. And Paul's passion for people and also the importance of working together as the gospel message is preached. Something that we as a Christian, we need to be clear on is that the gospel is something that we need to work as a team. God has not designed Christian to act as a lone rangers. God has designed the church as a body of Christ that we can work as a team. It doesn't matter how a player in a team is. They always have to depend on the other teammates in order to complete, in order to reach the goal, the common goal that they have as a team. It's the same way in the church. It doesn't matter how talented, how mature or how good as a Christian you are, you always have to depend on others to make the work, to make the God's work as we preach the gospel message. The gospel is one of the most wonderful ways that God has displayed his glory. Through the gospel, we see that God shows us his love, his mercy, and compassion to all human beings. It is through the gospel that God has revealed who he is, what he was willing to do for us, and how we can be transformed by the power of the gospel in our life. With that in mind, I want for you to see this morning the beauty of the fellowship in the gospel. How beautiful the gospel, but how beautiful is when we as a church work as a team, as we go and preach the gospel, the message of Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. You're going to be reading. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I'm confident of this very thing, that who began the good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Remember that Apostle Paul is writing this letter from prison. And this letter has begun, and Pastor Adam already talked about that, in Acts 16. In Acts 16, we can see three very different types of people. First of all, you have Lydia, a wealthy businesswoman. Then you have a formerly demon-possessed slave girl. And also, we have a soldier who was committed to the Roman Empire. Paul was the means by these people which came to know the gospel. And throughout the letter to the Philippians, Paul showed us how the gospel is capable of breaking down every kind of wall built by man. The founding of the church to the Philippians tore down barriers like race, economic status, social background, and nationality. If we are honest with ourselves, we feel comfortable with people that look, think, and act the same way we do. We feel comfortable, we feel secure sometimes with people that make us, we attend the church, where people look and think the same way we do. But what happened in the establishment of the church in Philippians will never take in place if not for the transforming power of the gospel in their life. When our lives are transformed by the power of the gospel, our responsibility is then live and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has given us the great and also opportunity to be part of his work as we go and carry the message of salvation to all people. And I think that's one of the reasons that you guys as a church, you see mission as essential part of everything you do. Not only outside your country, but also here in it. In the we see the mission field that you have here in Grace Baptist Church. Gracia, the relationship, the church, the small group that you have as a Gracia de Dios. Let me make sure that I say this. Gracia de Dios. Create that fellowship. And also as the Latino here in Chattanooga, they have the capacity to speak the language and reach those people that it is hard for you as American. The same thing as for them to be Latino, it is hard for them to reach the American people. But working together, you have an awesome and great opportunity. And that's what we see here in these verses that I just read. How Paul is expressing us his joy, gratitude, and affection for these people. And how we can be doing the same thing for the benefit of the church. And the first thing that I want to see with you this morning is his contents pray for others. His contents pray for others. Remember that Paul is in prison. And if I were in prison for a moment, I've been thinking a lot of things were thinking from my head. Maybe how unfair is life? If I'm preaching the gospel, I don't deserve to be here. How can I get out of here? Or maybe if I'm in prison, I'm going to be wondering, well, I'm going to be here for a while, so I got to find a way to get a good meal. And when I'm talking about a good meal, you know, it's rice, beans, and good avocado, tropical juice, and, you know, real food. Like, but let's focus in the text. It's not time for lunch. Instead of that, like, thinking about himself, indwelling of the difficulty of his life, he's thinking about others. In verse 3 and 4, he say, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. One of the things that I ask myself when I see these verses here, if Paul is praying for these people, what thing is he praying for? If you go with me in the verse 9, he said, in this I pray, that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge in all our discernment. Paul is praying for the spiritual well-being of these people. He's more focused, he's more interested in their growing, in their knowledge, in relationship with God. The reason that he's saying that is because the more that we know God's will, the more we know God, the better we understand his will. And when we know his will, we will understand the way we should live our life. The best way we can know ourselves is when we spend the time to know God. The better person to define who we are is God through his work, through his word and that he has revealed to us. Also, I see two things, two qualities that I impulse prayer. First of all, it's a prayer of thank. He said in verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. If you go into verse 7, he also said, for it's only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. You say, I'm thanking God, not just because I remember you sometime, not constantly, I remember you and I want to pray for you. The verse, the word that he used in verse 7, I have you in my heart, is mean I have you in my mind. I constantly remember you. That's the question that we should ask ourselves. What's the last time we stop what we're doing? We say, I want to thank and I want to pray for my brothers and sisters. Not just because when they're struggle, when they're going for difficult time, this is a good time for us to pray for them, but also just stop what we do and say, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters. But also, secondly, it is consistent. Verse 4, he say, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. He said, I'm constantly, I'm offering prayer for you. I'm praying for you every time. Can we say what Paul said in verse 8? He said, God is my witness. Can we say in front of God, God, you are my witness. How long I care for my brothers and sisters and how constantly I pray for them. That's a good question that we need to ask, that we need to ask ourselves. When we pray for others, it causes to think more about others and less about ourselves. When we pray for others, we can see God, how God is working in their life. There is a sense of relief when somebody comes to you and say, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. You feel like somebody is thinking about me and somebody is lifting me up in front of the presence of the Father. One of the things that I learned as keep praying and praying and practicing this discipline in my life is if you want to grow in your love for others, pray for them. If you want to, the best way that you can show love to those that sometimes you don't get along very well, that you don't like that much, is pray for them faithfully. I believe that prayer is one of the means that God used to keep us more focused on Him and less focused in ourselves. God used prayer for us to focus in God, in God's work, in other people, in how we can invest in those people. He prayed for these people, but also the second thing that I see in this passage is his commitment to the gospel. His commitment to the gospel. So far we have seen Paul's passion and love for these people. And the question is, why? Why Paul is speaking so highly about these people? Why he's constantly praying and thinking about them? If you go with me in verse 5, he say, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. He used a phrase in verse 7, you are partakers of grace with me. For Paul and the church in Philippi, the gospel was their foundation of their life. It was the foundation of their relationship. He said they had the same goal in common. They also have the same passion for God and the gospel. And they have the same care for each other. The word that Paul used in verse 5, the word participation or partnership, is the Greek word that translates koinonia, which means it's the same thing about fellowship. It is the idea or has the same share for the same goal and for the same cause. It is having something in common that we absolutely agreed on. You see, we can be in agree or disagree about politics, about sports, about music style, about food, but we need to be in agreement that before God, there is nothing, absolutely nothing that we can do to achieve the salvation that only is possible through the person of Jesus Christ. Paul is grateful that because these people not only received this gospel, but they were committed to proclaim and live this gospel. He is grateful that despite of the limitations that they have made the commitment to make sure that Paul, to help Paul financially, help in every needs that he had, because they love Paul, but primarily because they were committed to the gospel. Each of we are here are the product of someone committed to the gospel. Some of you maybe came to know Christ through your parents, pastors, or school, friends, or somebody that you even know shared the gospel of salvation with you. For me personally, I know that I would be nothing if not for the grace of God in my life. I grew up in a very dysfunctional, in a very poor home back in the Dominican Republic. My dad passed away when my mom was pregnant with me. And my brother was 1 year old. When I was 7 years old, my mom got in an accident and she became completely blind. And there is my brother and I and my mom. With no dad in a home, nobody that I can trust and I can say, you are my daddy. No, it's just me, my mom, and my brother. And then when I was 9 years old, I became part of the boys' home that was started by Paula and Doc Hodges. And I was really angry with my mom, angry with everybody, because I want to be with my mom, I want to be with the people that I love, but I was living in a boys' home. But God used those difficulties of my life for me to begin and know Christ when I was a teenager. And the people that God used to point me to God was also the people that God used for me to encourage me to be in the ministry full time. I can start complaining about my life, but the only thing that I can say, I am who I am for the grace of God in my life. Paul was preaching the gospel, and that was the most important thing for him. That was his heart. Church, in the end of our life, the most important thing is not how much wealth we can accumulate in this earth, not how famous we can be, but how committed we are to the gospel, how committed we are to God's work. As a Christian, we have to remember and we have to learn every day to live the gospel, rejoice in the gospel, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to see one more point here. In the last point that I want to see with you is his joy for the work of God in the life of others. His joy, how joyful he was for God, how God is working in the life of other people. Paul is going to talk about the constant growth of the people in Philippi. Verse 6, he say, "For I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus." He's praying that this with conviction and without any doubt that God will continue to work in the life of these people. Paul is making sure, and it's very, very clear, that salvation is not something that would depend on us, but rather rest solely in the person of Jesus Christ. The work of salvation is complete in Christ, but we are a work in progress here in earth. The same Apostle Paul, he say in verse Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, verse 13 and 14, "Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." As long we are in this side of eternity, we are never going to be perfect in our own way. But God is working to preparing us for the day when he will be transforming us to be everything that he wants for us to be. He's rejoicing in how God is working in each and every life of these people. It can be too easy for us to focus. In this day, it's so easy for us to be focused in the negative of others. Be focused in the thing that divides us instead to be diligent in the thing that unites us. Let's keep our eyes focus, fixed on Jesus, and encourage one another to do the same, to continue reaching forward and pressing to the goal this wonderful gospel that we have in Christ Jesus. It is amazing how the gospel works in our life, that despite of our difference, we can be united in Christ. The first members of the church in Philippians couldn't be more different. You have a wealthy businesswoman, you have a slave girl, and a soldier who was committed to the Roman Empire. It couldn't be more different. They have different cultures. They have maybe a different background. They have different economic status. But they was under the common goal and the same purpose. They were living and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning, we have an example. Here I am, preaching the word of God, and I hope you'll be able to understand what I'm saying, but here I am. I have different culture. We have different first language. We like different things. We are different in so many ways, but we are the same. And the most important thing, it is that we are united in Christ and we are going for the same goal that is God to be known to all nations. It doesn't matter how you look like, what you like. We have to be to focus in the same goal and be focused in what is important. It is to God to be known to all nations. That is the beauty of the fellowship of the gospel that has overcome barriers and unites us in Christ. That despite of our difference, we can be one body. And because of this, we can love each other. We can see the good that God is doing in each other's life. We can encourage to good works. We can encourage to live in sharing the gospel. We can choose to focus on the thing that unites us instead of the thing that divides us. I want to encourage you, church, to pray for others. Take the time to pray for those people that sometimes you don't think about it. We need to get out of our comfort zone and start praying and pray more for God's working in our life, but that God's working in the life of others. Let's share the gospel. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's say that the center of our conversation to be Jesus. We can talk with one another about our struggle. But we can talk about God is working in our life and how God is using His word to transform us to be each day more like Christ. Let's rejoice in how God is working in our life, but also in the life of others. We have a wonderful gospel. We have a wonderful opportunity. Sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zone and let's start to talk about Jesus and share Jesus and pray for others constantly. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this morning as we've been talking about how we can be transformed by the power of the gospel in our life. Help us to live and share the wonderful gospel that we have received by grace. Help us to focus more on others. Let's us to focus more in what is important and less of ourselves. Help us to pray more for others, to be more committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and rejoice in the way you are working with other people. And rejoice how you are working in our life and how we have how we can be transformed by the power of the gospel in our life and the life of others. Thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The work of Christ, the work of the gospel, the sense of what we share, the sense of what we participate in, what really unites us. Great reminder of what we partake in each and every week. We receive of the mercy of God and the grace of God, and in that same grace and in that same mercy, we can love one another, we can serve one another, we can truly do something for this world that they need. And I appreciate that reminder, Jensi. Thank you. And I hope that God will encourage our hearts to understand that's why we want a Spanish ministry. That's why we send missionaries out into the other parts of the world. That's why we're focused, even as a church, reaching into our community, because we want to share this good news of the person of Christ. First of all, I hope you know Christ as your personal Savior. I hope He truly is your Savior. And if He is, then are you having intentional conversations about Him, where the Lord places you each and every day? We're going to stand together and have a time of closing as we take a moment to sing a song. Go ahead and stand with us if you would. And as we sing, maybe in that moment there, God will address a need in your heart. Is there someone that you're just refusing to pray for because, well, there is something that you hold against that person? Is there something that's hindering your ability to enjoy fellowship with someone? Or maybe someone is struggling with you and your pride is keeping them at bay. Whatever God could do in our hearts to hinder to show where the gospel is being hindered through us, I pray that God will show that to us, pinpoint those things, so that we are not bottlenecks hindering the effectiveness of communicating Christ wherever we go. May God challenge us from His word. And may He truly speak to us this morning. Let's sing this song together as a word of closing. May our hearts be encouraged in Christ.
Thanks for sharing with us from the Word. You pray with him as you leave today, as he speaks again, and then as he speaks in the Spanish, Gracias de Dios, this afternoon. So we love you and trust you have a great week as you go forward. Love you. You're dismissed.